This part of the world is so desolate. It's like the pictures of the moon that the Soviets took. It's fitting that this place is where all the secrets have led me. This is where they're brought to be buried. I'm Jack Schechter. It is, I think, March 28th, 1969. The Cosmodrome is the Soviets' launch facility. It is their Cape Canaveral. It is in the middle of the Kazakh desert, in the middle of the continent, 3 days train travel from anywhere. I'm the only American for 1,000 miles in any direction.
The cosmonauts sit here, and the co-pilot sit here.
Right, and the oxygen?
Here, in this peep. This peep come here.
Where are the oxygen tanks? Where the oxygen comes from, the tanks?
Here.
That's the most productive conversation I've had in the 3 days that I've been here at the Cosmodrome. The language barrier has been a constant obstacle. If I'm able to make myself understood, I'm only shown around a Potemkin village, the parts of the Cosmodrome sanctioned for members of the press. That spokesman was pointing to a drawing of the Soyuz spacecraft from a children's textbook. Do you know Nikolai Malakhov?
Pardon?
The search for Nikolai, the missing rocket scientist, has turned up dead ends. I shouldn't be surprised. Thousands of people work here, and everything's classified. I'm shuttled from one museum-quality room to another by PR men who are trying less and less to hide their contempt for me.
Kuton.
Amerikanets.
All right, thank you. Спасибо.
Пожалуйста.
This whole time, in my pocket, I've had the document that I took from Nikolai's apartment. It's marked top secret, so I don't dare show it to anyone here. It's a manifest for the Soyuz moon lander. It lists how much oxygen was on board. Nikolai mentioned in his postcards to Jacob that the numbers weren't adding up, and he had to have been referring to this document in particular because next to the amount of breathable oxygen, he wrote, "Not enough." What does that mean? Not enough oxygen? How? Nikolai said that he was terrified to make this information public, and of course, if this document shows that they launched without enough oxygen, that means that they intended to do so. Nikolai would have uncovered a government-sanctioned conspiracy. But the cosmonauts made it. I saw them in the newspaper just yesterday. In the lobby of the Cosmodrome, they're putting up a big bronze statue of the cosmonauts. They look different from the bewildered guys that I saw on the news. They look like gods. If this document is genuine, then Nikolai martyred himself to make the truth known. If it's not, then Natalia was right. Nikolai was mistaken. He wasn't silenced for a conspiracy. He was silenced because he was a nuisance. Whatever the Soviet Union did, they're gonna get away with it. And no one will care. I'm on the train back to Moscow. I could try and get someone from the American embassy to come back and help with the language barrier, but that will take a week to process the paperwork and another 3 days on the train. If Nikolai isn't already in an unmarked grave, he will be by then. At the very bottom of the document, Nikolai wrote, "Diogenes will know." I've been staring at this thing for so long, I see it in my sleep. The ink is smeared because it looks like he wrote it fast. I picture him in his tiny apartment, hearing the police coming down the hall and scrawling this message and jamming it in his hat in the vain hope that someone might be able to put the pieces together and make his sacrifice mean something. But I don't know how to do that. Who is Diogenes? This is humiliating. What am I doing here? I went to the Soviet Union on a hunch, by myself, and I've found nothing but the same obfuscation that I've come to expect. I don't feel like a reporter anymore. If Natalia had just been upfront with me, if she had just said, "Jack, the government is very corrupt. I think you should know we regularly kill people who cause trouble for the state. I think you should know we're backing the Viet Cong just to antagonize you. I think you should know we can't feed our people, but the way we see it, it's easier to annex Eastern Europe and take their food rather than subsidize farmers like you'd actually do in a communist state. Ooh, people are staring at me. Probably shouldn't talk so loud. Three days on a train is uncivilized. It's cramped and dingy and slow. I wish I could have taken Igor's advice and brought a book. All I have is this document that I don't understand. There are newspapers left by other passengers, but they're all in Russian or Kazakh, maybe. There's Pravda, the paper Igor writes for. I wonder if he's in this one. Ah, there he is. There's his name. It's Natalia. There's a picture of Natalia in here. She's in handcuffs. That's the KGB building in Moscow behind her. What the hell is going on? Has she been arrested? Oh God, I need a translation. There's someone. Here goes. Sir, do you speak English?
Anglais? Un peu? A little.
Oh, you speak French? Français?
Oui, monsieur.
Oh, wow, thank God. Pouvez-vous assister moi? Qui est-elle sur cette photo?
Elle est une diplomate soviétique. Elle est extradée vers la Russie et arrêtée pour divulguer des secrets d'État. Elle a commis la trahison avec un Américain.
An American? Qui?
Je ne sais pas. Un journaliste. Connaissez-vous cette femme?
Yeah, I know her. Merci, monsieur.
Je vous en prie.
What did I say? What did I say to Igor about Natalia? The article says that she was extradited to Russia for sharing state secrets with an American reporter. Oh no, oh no, oh no, oh no, oh no, oh no. I can't believe I talked about my sources to a Soviet. Jack, you fool, you stupid fool, what have you done? She's gonna end up in a gulag because of me. She's gonna be tortured. She's gonna be sentenced to death because of me. Oh God, oh, my hands are shaking. Moscow. I have to get to the American embassy. I have to straighten this out. And of course, the American ambassador isn't in, so I'm gonna see if I can get some traction with Albert Braverman, one of the attachés. Albert!
Huh? Oh, hello, Jack. What can I do for you?
Natalia Gromyko was wrongfully arrested.
The diplomat?
Yes.
Wasn't she extradited for talking to
you? She needs to be released and sent back to the United States immediately.
You know, she's a Soviet citizen. If they want to arrest her, they can.
Not if she hasn't done anything wrong.
How do you know that?
Because I'm the one that got her arrested.
What?
It doesn't matter.
All right, I suppose if you really wanted to, you could try and tell them to let her go.
What do you mean?
Well, she's downstairs.
She's here? She's in the embassy?
Sure. They're making her sign a bunch of papers to revoke her ambassadorial privileges.
How could you just let them arrest her without corroborating the charges?
It's a legal matter for the Soviet Republic.
Where is she?
Downstairs, of course.
Never mind. Comforting to know that the bureaucrats are uncooperative no matter who they work for. Oh my God, there she is. She's outside in the courtyard. They're taking her to a car. Natalia! Natalia! Open the... Hey! Open this gate! Let her go!
Jack!
Natalia!
Jack!
Oh my God, Natalia, I'm so sorry.
I have never lied to you.
They put her in a car. She's gone. I need to talk to Igor. He wrote the article. He must know what happened. Igor, it's Jack.
Yeah, got you back in Moscow.
You sold out Natalia.
You saw my article. It's good, no? It's not winning any Pulitzers, but I enjoy writing it.
Why did you do that?
Are you not happy?
I just saw her being carried away by the KGB.
I was under the impression that all she did was get in your way. Nevertheless, it's bad for business being friendly with the Americans.
Well, I don't think the Kremlin would like to know how friendly you've been to me in translating that document.
I don't know what you're talking about. Truth of the matter is this. I show you around. share my vodka, give you a place to sleep, and in exchange you help me with deadlines.
You knew she was essential to America's relationship with the Soviet Union. This will only make things worse.
Will it? My editor gave me a box of Cuban cigars for breaking this story. You know as well as I do that the Cold War sells papers.
But it's all lies!
Yes, that is the only reason anything happens, is because some people are willing to lie and other people are willing to believe them. Let it go, Jack. Like your country, you insert yourself where you have no business being. До свидания.
Okay. Okay. Okay, I have to do something. Who can I talk to? Who's sympathetic? Who can... Barnaby. No. No, I don't want this on the embassy's records. I better use a payphone.
Hello, this is Barnaby.
Barnaby, it's Jack Schechter.
Jack, fair sucker. The sap, I was worried you'd been bundled off to Siberia. How are you getting on with Igor?
He sold out my source, Barnaby. I talked about Natalia, and he wrote an article saying that...
You're the bloke she was talking to? They're saying she betrayed the Soviet state. You know what that means over here?
Barnaby, I need you to do something for me.
Name it.
You still have a contact in the KGB, yeah?
Yeah, I met him at an intermission for Boris Godunov.
What does that mean? Is that Australian?
Jack, it's a ballet.
Okay, can you talk to this guy?
About Natalia? Nah, you've got Buckley's chance. These are the guys the bad guys are afraid of. She's already gone.
Can I talk to him?
Mate, you've got a few kangaroos loose in the top paddock. I'm not going to cock my one favor of the KGB because your Sheila's been giving up the good oil.
She hasn't said anything incriminating. It's just the same paranoid corruption in the...
She would piss on you if you were on fire.
Her family might never see her again. That'll be on me. She was doing her job. Criminals arrested her for feeding me the propaganda that they made.
It doesn't matter. Corruption doesn't disappear once you say, oh, look at that, that's corrupt. Especially not here. I'd assume you fell on your Joey's pouch yesterday.
Barnaby... Please.
Jack? All right, listen. You and I both know there's only one way to a bureaucrat's heart.
Okay, hold on. I don't want you to have to plead the fifth on my account.
Have to do what?
This is Jack Schechter reporting from across the street of the American Embassy in Moscow. It's April Fool's Day, 1969, and I'm here because I'm looking for Nikolai Malakhov. Because Jacob believes that he's missing. Jacob. I need to tell him.
Hello?
Hi, is this Jacob?
Yeah, this is him. Who is this?
It's Jack Schechter. How are you?
Jack! Oh. God, good, I guess. Still looking for work, you know. Yeah, after NASA, not a lot of people who want to hire a astrophysics lecturer, you know?
Right.
Anyways, have you found anything out about Nikolai?
Well, Jacob, I'll tell you the truth. I haven't found anything yet, but I have a lot of really good leads. I'm placed really well right now, actually, to keep going with this investigation.
Yeah? Where are you?
I'm in Moscow.
You're in Moscow right now?
Yeah.
How are you calling me from Moscow?
I'm at the American Embassy. They set up an international call through some kind of radio relay.
Oh, of course, Diogenes, yeah.
Wait a second, what did you say?
Diogenes, it's a radio relay in Turkey. Actually, it's not just a radio relay. They talk to the cosmonauts through that. Or they used to.
They talk to the cosmonauts through Diogenes?
Oh, yeah, since the 50s, I think.
It's in Turkey?
Yeah, near the Black Sea, I think.
Jacob, you're an absolute gem. Thank you so much. I have to go.
Okay.
Diogenes will know. Thank you, Nikolai. Albert, what's the fastest way to get to Turkey?
What?
What if we had landed on the moon first? I don't think anything would be different. Nikolai's conscience would have gotten him in trouble some other way. As soon as we got there and realized that we don't need to go back a second time to see rocks and dust, Jacob would have been laid off. Natalia would have become an enemy in her own country because, well, the Soviets would find a reason. And I'd still fly halfway around the world without doing any due diligence because someone has a sob story. I used to talk to my friends about how good things would be once the Cold War was over, how nice it would be to open the paper and not have to read about the doomsday clock or communism in Hollywood. But I don't know if it'll ever end. You can't just throw away nuclear bombs. Everyone's afraid of the one country that would lie and keep them and dictate to the rest of the world because they could. They say that nuclear holocaust can happen any day now. But I don't think it's going to be because someone shoots first. It'll be because one day we realize that there's no big secret at the heart of it all. That no one in charge ever had a plan. Then there'd really be no way to back down. The Cold War doesn't exist. It's just stupid, scared children bragging about their toys. The small port city of Sinop is a day's drive from Istanbul on the northern coast of Turkey. There's a bleak, windswept hill rising out of the Black Sea. It's blanketed in satellite dishes and radio towers, perfectly positioned to listen behind the Iron Curtain. Yalta, on the Crimean Peninsula, is only 180 miles across the sea. The Turkish army calls the facility Diogenes, after the Greek philosopher born here 2,400 years ago. He said that society was incompatible with happiness. Because of the increased Soviet presence in the Black Sea, the staff at Diogenes wasn't sure what to do with the recordings they had made of the Soyuz missions. Before he played the tapes for me, the commanding officer of the facility told me to prepare myself. Even with a warning like that, I don't believe I could have. No doubt the Soviets are listening to us as we are listening to them. My hope is that learning what Diogenes knows, learning the truth, will help us, not to condemn one another, but to better understand. Here now is a transmission between the Cosmodrome and the cosmonauts who landed on the moon.
Yacht 2, ditch 1, all read nominal.
Roger that.
Attitude reads 83 Mark 1. Computer is showing red, but both backups are simpatico. 83 Mark 1. Now Mark 2.
Roger. Last one, boys. Check fuel reactant valve set to normal.
I'm still showing some amperage.
You're okay. That's amperage from the EDS. That will go away.
Thank you, Moscow.
You're welcome. And finally, gentlemen, I have a message to read from the Premier.
Roger that. We are listening. Moscow, Soyuz, we are standing by. Over.
Comrades Maxim Vladimirovich Tupolev and Anton Andreevich Pashkov, a great mission of conquest has fallen to your lot. The whole world is looking to you as pathfinders on this new frontier.
That is a great honor. Please express our gratitude to the Premier for his inspiring words.
Be worthy of this mission. Be worthy of this sacrifice.
Say again, Moscow.
I must ask that you commit yourselves to the sacrifice that lies ahead, as you have committed yourselves to the party.
Please explain sacrifice, Moscow.
Your vehicle is carrying enough oxygen to deliver you to your target and to perform extravehicular activities on the surface. But there is not enough to bring you back.
Say again, Moscow.
Party leadership has determined...
Say that again, Moscow. I'm hearing there is half the oxygen we need on board. Say again, Moscow.
Party leadership has determined it is too dangerous to perform your re-entry. There is a high likelihood of catastrophic failure of the heat shield. We cannot lose you where evidence can be found.
So the plan is to leave us stranded.
Gentlemen, this is part of the risk you accepted when entering...
Moscow, you are a bunch of cowards.
Natasha, calm down.
I will not calm down. They have decided to kill us, Max, just like that. Brezhnev is a murderer.
Natasha, that's enough.
I'm turning this around. I'm getting us back.
No.
Let go of me, Max. They are murdering us.
Natasha, let
Max, they are murdering us. I will not die this way.
We will burn all our fuel slowing down, and then we will die without getting anywhere. Let it go.
Gentlemen, think of your legacy. Your names will be carved into the very foundations of the Union for all time.
My family. What about my family? What about Max's family?
They will be taken care of. Reparations will be made in secret.
Oh my God. my little girls. My little girls.
Take heart, Anton. They are too young to understand. They won't remember. They will be taken care of.
Heartless bastards.
We will hire actors to play your parts in this operation.
Christ almighty.
Gentlemen, this is merely the first step in the long and glorious climb of...
It's off. Damn them! Damn you, did you know?
No.
What will we do?
Our duty.
We have ignition sequence start.
The Soyuz Files is presented by The West. The radio play was written by Spencer Devlin Howard, based on a postcard adventure by Nathan Turner and Spencer. You can see more of the Soyuz story at SoyuzFiles.com. It features the vocal talents of Kate Scott Campbell, Steve Hastings, Spencer Devlin Howard, Sam Hunter, Claire Kaplan, Matt McNally, Thomas Miller, and Nathan Turner. The dramaturg was Shannon Stockwell. The Soyuz Files was recorded at Vox Studios and The Echo at the Atwater Village Theaters. We would like to extend our thanks to Chris Fields, Alex Freeman, Andre Zinka, Tunde Skovran, the archivists at NASA, and our moms and dads for helping us make this happen. And an extra special thanks to all of those who donated to Lady into Fox. The West is a multimedia storytelling collective based in Los Angeles with works on the stage, on the screen, and in your earbuds. If you'd like to see more of what we do, please visit us online at thewest.la.